Well, we're turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Given the subject that we are looking at, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will turn up Matthew chapter 24 many, many times, I'm sure, during our time together, because there is no chapter in the Bible that deals more extensively with the return of the Savior and the signs that indicate the return of the Savior than does this chapter. Of course, we can understand why that is so, because Matthew chapter 24 is the Savior himself telling us of the things that will mark his return. Now, I want just to look at a few verses. We'll read them together in Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 15 to start with. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see. I don't need to read any more than that, because there is in those few words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ a very important principle for us to bear in mind as we think about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be things to see that will tell us his return is getting near. Now, we're all used to watching out for signs. When we're on a journey, if we're traveling in an area that we're not familiar with, we watch out for road signs, looking for directions that appear on the road sign. They guide us. And also, perhaps we have been told that we're to look out for certain things. Perhaps a filling station, or a big store, or factory, or a big house, or a bridge. And these things, as we see them, let us know how we're progressing on our journey. And then if we're visiting someone's house that we're not familiar with, we have arrived in the street, the street sign told us we were in the right street. Then we drive down the street slowly, looking at the numbers, until we come to the right number. So we're all used to watching for signs. And the Lord Jesus tells us here in Matthew chapter 24 that we shall be able to see certain things that will indicate the approach of his return. On Tuesday, we considered how that there were signs for which we were to watch and wait. Watch and wait. And the informed Christian, that is the Christian who has studied the subject, will be looking in the right direction, as it were, for the signs, waiting to see them come about. Now, there are specific events that will take place, each one of which will be an indication to the people of God, the people that believe the Bible, that the return of Christ is near. Specific events. I don't like the idea that some people preach that you and I can never know about how near it is. I don't like that idea. It's as if they are saying God has sent us down a road, but he has given us no indication of how long the road is, where the end of it is, how close we are to the end of it. That, to me, would appear to be a very wrong idea. It suggests that God would act in what I feel would be an unkind way toward his people, that he should set them adrift, as it were, without any idea of how far they have gone and how far they have to go. I don't think the Lord would do that. After all, he's the shepherd. And the shepherd goes before the sheep, leads them in the way, shows them the way. And it would not appear to me to be in keeping with the ways of a shepherd if the people of God found themselves just traveling year in, year out, century in, and century out without any idea of how close to the end of our pilgrimage we are. That just does not seem to fit with my idea of the kindness and care that God gives to his church. And listen, it doesn't fit with what the Bible says. That's the most important thing. The Lord Jesus has told us in his word, through his prophets, and he himself, of course, in this chapter 24, has told us very plainly that there are specific events, unmistakable events, that will tell us when Christ will return. Let me just say this. When you read a road sign, you read it carefully. You make sure that if you're going to a certain town and you look at the road sign and it's pointing in this direction, you make sure that it's the town you want to go to that lies in this direction. You just don't glance at it quickly, and if it's Oma you're looking for and there's a no at the beginning of the word, well, that's enough, we'll just go down there. No, it might be Omeath rather than Oma. And if you head for Omeath, hoping to go to Oma, well, you're going to be long, long way away from where you want to go. No, you look at it carefully. You read it out. Oma, that's the place. And it says, you go in this direction, it's an arrow, and it tells us how many miles. All of this information we take note of carefully. Carefully. Now look, it's exactly the same, with the information the Bible gives us regarding the return of Christ. You look at every word that is in the prophecies that you're studying. Because remember what the scripture says, every word of God is good. Every word of God is good. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So every word is there because God wants it there. And he wants you to take note of it. And not just read half of the verse, or a bit of the verse, and leave out some words which would make a big difference to what the verse means. Now because of that, because people don't carefully read what God's word says, they have throughout the ages seen certain things developing within the nations, and they have jumped to conclusions. There were many Christians back in the 1930s and in the 1940s who were absolutely certain that Adolf Hitler, the German leader, was the Antichrist. They were absolutely sure of it. And there were preachers who would have taught that he was the Antichrist. Now, listen, he bore some resemblance to him, as he is described in the Word of God. He bore some resemblance, but only some resemblance. You wouldn't want to get arrested by the police because they were looking for someone with brown eyes and you had brown eyes. That wouldn't be enough. If the villain was 6'4" and you're 4'6", well, that wouldn't quite match the description. And the police would be acting most improperly. And if they brought you before the judge and said, oh, it's him, Your Honour, he has brown eyes, the judge might say, but he's a wee bit shorter than the description of the man you're looking for. And he would throw out the police case against you, thankfully. Otherwise, we'd all be going to visit you in jail. No, it's not enough just to take one wee bit of information or one particle of the description of the Antichrist and see it fulfilled in an individual and say, oh, there you are, that's the Antichrist. No, you've got to take careful note of all that God's Word says. And oh, I do urge that upon you. Take careful note of all that God's Word says. Now, having said that, let me say, first of all today, that the Savior has taught us that there are certain things that will take place in this world which will indicate that his return is getting very, very near. In fact, the signs that we're going to look at, if you see them, then you will see the return of Christ. That's how close the signs are to his return. The signs don't indicate, oh, the Savior's coming, but it's going to be maybe 100 years from now. No. When the signs begin to take place, then in a very short time, the Lord Jesus will return. I might just say the signs will serve as a wonderful encouragement in a very dark day. Because you see, the signs that indicate Christ is coming again will take place during times of hardship for the people of God. During times when the opinions of the world are very, very contrary to the Word of God and to the people of God, there will be a great and a mounting and a strengthening spirit of opposition to all things that are of God. Devil will be mounting a great campaign against the truth. He will be working with an energy that he has never shown before. Don't you believe for a minute that the devil at the moment is locked up? There are some people who believe that the devil is in the bottomless pit that is referred to in Revelation chapter 20, and he is therefore confined and in chains and is not able to work as he would like to work. Don't you believe that? That's a falsehood. Do you know who started that story? Can you guess? The devil. The devil. I mean, if I was going to rob your house, and then there came to your attention a notice that I was in jail, you wouldn't worry about me robbing your house, would you? You would say, oh, I'm safe enough from him. He can't rob my house. He's in jail. But what if I sent that letter just to put you off your guard so that you weren't expecting me to rob your house?
Well, that's exactly what the devil has done.
This notion that the devil is under lock and key is a lie from the devil to put God's people off their guard. Peter tells us that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Now, does that sound as if he's chained up, bound up, not able to deceive, no longer a threat? Does that sound like it? No, it doesn't sound like it. And I believe Peter. Listen, the devil reads the Bible. The devil knows what's in the Bible. He even quoted it to the Lord Jesus. He wasn't a bit afraid of getting the quotation wrong in the sense of missing out any words. He knows the Bible. And knowing the Bible, he knows the signs of Christ's return. And the scripture says, in the last book of the Bible, that the devil is increasingly angry and furious because he knows his time is short. Now, when I say the devil reads the Bible and knows the Bible, there's one thing I have to say. He doesn't believe the Bible. He can read in the Bible about himself being overthrown by the Lord Jesus, being defeated by the Lord Jesus, being thrown into the lake of fire forever by the Lord Jesus. He can read all that, but he doesn't believe it. He says, I'll yet defeat God. I know this is what is said, but I will yet defeat God. So although he can see the signs and understand the signs from the Bible and recognize how things are reaching a climax, he doesn't believe that the outcome told us in the Bible will be the outcome that will result, for he believes that he will yet be successful. But then that's what every sinner believes. That's what every sinner believes. They hear the gospel. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. They read in the gospel that if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ,
you'll be lost.
And they say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
If I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, still, somehow or other, I get to heaven. If I reject the gospel, still, somehow or other, I'll get to heaven. What God says in His Word won't happen to me.
That's what the devil thinks. And that's what every poor, foolish sinner believes.
Now, the devil, knowing that the approach of Christ is drawing on, is increasingly furious in his opposition to the gospel and against the people of God. So it's a dark time, a troubling time for the people of God, and how welcome, therefore, will be the sign that the return of Christ is getting near. How welcome.
I always think of these things in the light of the seasons that come every year. And when you're in the depths of winter, and it's cold, and it's dark, and it's dull, and the wind's blowing, and the rain is falling down,
you look forward to spring.
And how good it is when you're out, maybe you're walking down the road, and there you notice in the hedge little green shoots. Or in the garden, oh, there's daffodils coming up. Lo and behold, there's some snowdrops.
These are signs of spring. And how welcome they are in the darkness of winter.
And in the darkness of the winter of sin in this world, how good it will be to see the signs of Christ's return. And I tell you, the Savior has taught us to watch out for the sign. Now, today I've taken up so much time on the things I've spoken on, I haven't got to the signs yet, or even to any of them. But it'll keep till next week, when we join you again on Tuesday afternoon around God's Word and this precious subject. Let's have a wee word of prayer. O God, our Father, write your word upon our hearts. Lord, give us understanding of the outline, the plan that you have set before us in your word. Oh, the devil would whisper to us, it's too complicated, it's too hard to get a grasp of. But Lord, we know it's not. We know it's not. And I pray that you will impart to the hearts and minds of the boys and girls here an understanding of these things, and may they long for the return of Christ. May, of course, they be ready for that return. Lord, may they be saved. Speak to their hearts on that vital matter. For Jesus' sake, amen.